On behalf of the pastors, I would like to thank you for the gifts you gave us last week during Pastor Appreciation Month, and we appreciate all of you. In your bulletin, there's a flyer for the Operation Care Food Bank, and every year we make a request that people, you can make a $400, $500, $800 donation to Operation Care, and you get an Arizona tax credit for the same amount, and we encourage you to participate in this year. As you may know, our church pretty much is a primary supporter for Operation Care Food Bank, and we feed thousands of people every year. And if our church, this is the honest truth, if our church did not support this ministry, it would not continue. It would not be able to continue. So I'm grateful that we can be a part in feeding the hungry. You know, this past month we had this election cycle, election season, and after the election it left everybody upset, angry, and bitter. And when you add to that the normal selfishness and pride and greed that possesses our nation and drives our lives, there's no kindness left in the world. And so when we see in the news about a spontaneous act of kindness, everyone gets excited and acts a little crazy. It's kind of interesting. Look at this slide. This supermarket employee, go to our next slide. This supermarket employee on the left named Jordan Taylor noticed an autistic young man watching him named Jack Ryan, and this young man was watching him fill the cooler. And so Jordan offers to show him how to stock the shelves, and he how to refill the coolers, and he let this young man do it, and it took a half hour to do it. But everybody saw this, and they were moved by the kindness of this young man to be considerate to this autistic man. And in fact, someone filmed it, and it went viral, of course. You know, everything goes viral now. And everyone that saw it were moved by his kindness. So they sent up a GoFundMe page for this young man, Jordan, so that he could go to college with a goal of raising $10,000. Well, this fund ended up raising $100,000 because everyone was so impressed and so touched. And, you know, don't get me wrong, what the young man did was was wonderful. And it was an act of kindness and generosity. But not too long ago in this country, everybody showed this kind of kindness and generosity. Why is it so rare today? Why is it we don't see it? And when we see this spontaneous kindness, we all get so excited about it. Well, it's because our nation has become selfish and self-absorbed. We only think about ourselves. We don't think of anybody else. We don't look out for others. And because of it, it causes us so much pain and problems. So when we get to a time, this time of the year, we're not happy. We're bitter. And so today, as we think about Thanksgiving, I want you to think about these questions. Are you stuck in life? Is your life kind of like going nowhere right now? Are you nursing a hate or a hurt about something in your life? Are your relationships becoming bitter? Can you remember the last time you were truly happy? When you see the people at work or at school, maybe you see them and you see these questions that you can tell they're not happy. Well, if you're tired of feeling this way, it's time to shake up your life. It's time to change the way you look at the world. And that's what our sermon today is called, Radical Gratitude. And so if we take out your sermon outline, you look at our first sermon point, it says that gratitude is the right attitude. When we go to work tomorrow, go back to school, gratitude is the right attitude. We see it in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. This is how God wants you to live. This is how God wants you to think. This is how God wants you to do things. See, that's radical gratitude, to be thanks, give thanks in every circumstance. You know, we don't have to give thanks for the bad things that happens, but we thank God for what He's going to do with it. We give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. For Christians, Thanksgiving is not supposed to be a once-a-year event. It's supposed to be a spiritual habit for the radical believer that drives our lives. The more deeply you understand God's love, the more grateful you will be in life. Look at this slide. Does this describe your attitude for Thanksgiving? Are you here today and you're greedy? You know, Black Friday just happened and we ran around and fought people over TVs. I was at Walmart at 10:30 because I don't get up early, but let's go to Walmart at 10:30 and there's a 65-inch TV for $400. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm in love, you know, but I'm like, my TV works and it's a measly 50-inch TV, but a 65-inch TV. Are you greedy? Are you grumbling because you didn't buy that TV? Are you guilty about something? Are you gloomy because it's supposed to be happy Thanksgiving and you're not happy and you're not thankful? That you're not thankful? Well, you can choose to be grateful. But we can't be grateful because we think that somebody owes me something. That's why we're bitter. That's why we're upset. Somebody owes me something. God owes me something. He hasn't given it to me. My spouse owes me something, my kids, my workplace, my school. Someone owes me something and I want payment. If I don't get it, I can't be grateful. And if I'm not grateful, I won't be gracious, I won't be glad, I won't be kind. When we feel this way, we cannot enjoy life and we cannot thrive in life today. But see, radical gratitude says this. Let's go to our next slide. Radical gratitude says, God owes me nothing and yet He has given me everything. Sometimes in the morning, I'll think to myself, wow, God gave me so much, I deserve nothing. When I go to bed at night, I say, God gave me so much, and He owes me nothing. See, this radical gratitude is the attitude that sets you free. When you're grateful and you walk through life grateful because you deserve nothing, but God gave you everything, it points your head and your heart in the right direction. It opens your heart. It shifts your attitude and your attention, and it sets you free. You have a new joy and purpose in life. Gratitude is the right attitude. Now, maybe you're here today, and you believe this, you're living it, you're experiencing it, that's great. But I want you to listen today so that you can share this with somebody else, that you can help someone who's gloomy or miserable or sad and try to point them in a new direction. But first, let's go to number two, which is why we give thanks. Why do we give thanks? Why is that expected of every believer? First point we see is that to acknowledge the giver. The gifts come from somebody. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God gives us not just a few, but every spiritual blessing comes from God. Every spiritual blessing comes from God. Every material blessing comes from God. God blesses us, and that's because of that God deserves our worship. But the problem today is that we take God for granted. We take our family for granted. We take our job for granted. We take all the gifts, the blessings God has given us for granted. And because we take it for granted, we're not grateful for it. But see, God is the one that enables us to work and to build wealth. There are no self-made millionaires or billionaires. I understand people call themselves that. You know, Gates and Buffett and Bezos could have all been born in the Sudan and Africa in a hut. They never reached that success. It is God who gives us so much. So I am grateful I live in the United States of America. See, radical gratitude begins when we acknowledge the giver, God. You want to shift your attitude, you give thanks to God. The second reason we give thanks is to acknowledge the gift. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every gift, the gift comes from God. It's custom made. It's made for us. Now look at this next slide. This is a boot. This is made out of a solid piece of walnut, and I carved this 36 years ago for my wife, for my future wife. I was wooing Haja, and she was living in El Paso, and I thought, I'm going to make her a gift, and I'm going to send it to her. So I took a solid piece of walnut, and I carved this boot out of a solid piece of walnut. You know, note the detail and all that. And I sent it to her because she loves art, she loves things like that, and I put like 50 hours into this thing. It has details, you know, marks on it. And she loved it. I mean, she just was impressed that I could make this. You know, no other woman has been given a gift like this. And it worked, see? She married me. She did marry me. But I made it for her because I wanted to make something special for her, to give a one-of-a-kind gift. And then I made a second one, because usually when you make something like this, you'll get to the end and then the bottom lip will just break off. So you always make two at the same time. So I said, well, see, one for you and one for me. And then she dropped it and broke the lip off, but it's okay. We still have it. But every gift that God gives you is custom made, a spiritual gift, a material blessing. God gives it for you for your blessing and benefit. And God knows what will make you happy. There is value and purpose in every gift that God gives you. You know, God loves to give you gifts. I love to give my family gifts, my kids gifts. Now that I have grandkids, I just love giving my grandkids gifts. And I'm sorry, my daughters say, don't give them so much. I'm saying, sorry, that's just the way I am. But you know, when God gives you a gift, you have to have the right attitude to unlock them and enjoy them. A lot of gifts that people give, that God gives to us, we don't use. We're not grateful for. We don't have a grateful attitude, so we never open them. We never enjoy them. When God gives you a gift, you have a bad attitude, you'll never use it. It will become worthless. So we give thanks to acknowledge the giver, to acknowledge the gift. The third reason is to acknowledge the need. We have a need. Romans 5:6. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God knows what we need. And we need to recognize this, that God gives us what we need, not just what we want. The greatest gift that God has given us is His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. See, when we are powerless, when we are helpless, God gave us Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to rise from the dead. He paid our sin debt. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. See, we need to be grateful. When we're grateful, we admit that we have a need. We have a need, and we humble ourselves, and we thank God for that gift. When we have a need and we're humble, we can accept God's gifts. You know, God gave us Jesus Christ, a wonderful, one-of-a-kind gift, but God gives us gifts every day, every week, all through the year, little ones and big ones. Forgiveness for when we sin. He gives us patience and love and family and friends. When we're willing to acknowledge the need, our need, we can humbly accept God's gift and appreciate it. If you're not humble, you will not appreciate what God gives you. So let's talk about the difference radical gratitude makes. What is the difference if we have this attitude? The first thing we see is it pleases God. It pleases God when we are grateful. Psalm 50:23. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares a way so that I may show him the salvation of God. You know, expressing thanks doesn't seem like a lot of sacrifice to me, but God says it's a sacrifice. It's an offering. Because when we give thanks for a particular blessing or gift, when we recognize that gift in a prayer of thanksgiving, it is a sacrifice to God. It pleases God. When we pray, we should be specific about what we are thankful for. Who are we thankful for? Why are we thankful for it? We need to name the blessing. This is something we should do every day in our quiet time, in our quiet moments. We name the blessing. We thank God for a particular gift or person. We're specific. We thank God for why this gift is so meaningful for us, why it changed our hearts or blessed our lives. When you pray this way, it opens your head and heart to God's will and way and more blessings. You know, the story of the nation of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And then God called them out of Egypt. He sent Moses to lead them into the promised land. And if we look at this slide, this is a picture of what it looks like. All these millions of people going to the promised land. But instead of going to the promised land, they ended up what? Wandering in the desert for 40 years. Why did they wander in the desert for 40 years? Because all they did was grumble and complain. They complained to God and they grumbled. Because of it, they did not enter the promised land. That generation died out. The next generation went in to the promised land. And if you're here today and your heart is full of grumbling and ungratefulness, you will not inherit the promised land. You will not be happy. You will not be gracious. You will not be kind if your heart is full of grumbling and complaining. See, God is not pleased with you. God is pleased when we're grateful. But He's not pleased with us when we're ungrateful. And so radical gratitude pleases God, and it opens our heart to be filled with God's joy and happiness and goodness. When you see someone at work or at school tomorrow and they just are bitter all the time, and you have an opportunity to talk with them, this is something to share with them, a truth about the way they think. Not condemning them, but you just share that, hey, you know, I heard this Bible story about these Jewish people that wandered to the desert and they were never happy and they never got to the promised land. I feel that way sometimes. Do you feel that way sometimes? Because you can't enter unless you are grateful and gracious to the Lord. Radical gratitude pleases God. The second thing we see is it develops faith. Your faith grows deeper. It goes deeper when we are grateful to God and we trust Him completely. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. When we're grateful, when we trust God, it builds deep roots of faith in God. It builds us up. How do you know that you have deep roots? Because you will overflow with thankfulness. You may not have much money. You may not have great health. You may not have material possessions, but you are overflowing with gratefulness. Faith does not grow unless it is challenged and exercised. So don't be afraid of tough times when things are hard, when things are difficult. This passage, Habakkuk 3:17, this prophet was going through tough times. Just look at this. Though the fig tree does not bud, let's go to Habakkuk 3:7. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fails, and the fields produce no food, then there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I mean, this is an agrarian society. There are no sheep, no cattle, no fruit, no produce. I have nothing, yet I will rejoice in my Lord. How can a person be happy like that? Everything's gone. You have nothing left. Just like those folks in Paradise, California, where their house was burnt to nothing. There is nothing left. Well, in the midst of all the bad things that went wrong, the prophet Habakkuk rejoiced. He says, I will be joyful in God my Savior. I am still saved. I'm still alive. Everything that in life may stink, but God is my Savior. And he could be grateful because the Lord is his Savior. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. See, radical gratitude says, God, I know You're in control. God, I know You love me. God, I know You can bring good out of this bad. God, I'm thankful that You are bigger than my problems. You may have read the book, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. And she tells an amazing story of how gratitude, the importance of being thankful, and how gratitude guided her through the concentration camp in during the World War II. So Corrie and her sister Betsy were held in this camp. Go to our next slide. This is Ravensbrück concentration camp. And they were stuck in there because they were helping Jewish people, and they got stuck in this prison. And these Nazi prisons are literally hell on earth. They are miserable places. And the barracks where they lived were plagued with fleas. Fleas everywhere. Fleas on their body, fleas in their hair, fleas in their mouth, and their ears, and their eyes, and their clothes. The barracks were infested with it. Well, one day, Betsy, Corey's sister, who's a very strong Christian, told Corey, we need to be thankful for the fleas. And Corey's thought, you know, well, Betsy's insane. She's gone crazy. She's been here too long. She thinks those fleas are her friends. But her sister insisted, the Bible says, be grateful and give thanks in everything, so we should give thanks for the fleas. And Corey still did not want to thank God for the fleas. But as it turned out, Corey and Betsy were trying to reach the women that they shared the barracks with the gospel. And so they would have secret Bible studies and teach them God's word and how to put their faith in God. But they later on found out that because of the fleas, they were so bad the guards would not come into the barracks. So they left the women alone so that they could have their Bible studies. And then in the end, Corey discovered that, oh, I guess God can bring good out of fleas. I don't know about mosquitoes, so I quite haven't figured that one out. I'm sure there's a reason. You know, you can just be thankful that God is God. God is God, and I am not. And you can remember that every righteous prayer prayed in the name of God will be answered on earth or in heaven if it's not answered on earth. So we can be grateful and have faith in God. The next thing we see is that radical gratitude, it strengthens our relationships. Are your relationships struggling these days? You and your spouse not seeing eye to eye. You and your kids or kids and your parents are not seeing eye to eye. Your workplaces, there's no joy. There's no joy in your life. Are your relationships lifeless, joyless, boring, or dying? Radical gratitude will change everything. When you change the way you look at the person you're trying to improve your relationship with, gratitude will change everything. Gratitude always builds deeper relationships. Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And so if you need to get closer to someone, if you want to restore a relationship, you pray for them and you express gratitude. You give thanks for them. So you start by praying to the Lord and thanking the Lord for this person that irritates you, this person that annoys you. You thank God and you start naming some of the things you're thankful for. Then you express your gratitude to this person. Maybe it's a spouse or a kid, you know, thank you for breakfast, or thank you for picking up this, or thank you for doing that. You just start expressing gratitude. You tell them what you're grateful for. You send them notes of kindness and expressions of thanks and thanksgiving. You thank God for them. You send them texts and voice messages. You just let them know that you are thankful for them. See, when you start doing this, when a person sees you, instead of seeing your bitterness and your complaining and your whining, you realize that, man, they really appreciate you. When they appreciate you, it makes you feel better. I've been going through all the expressions of thanks that you wrote on your cards for me last week. And I read every single one, and I'm thankful for them. You know, and I'm grateful for the recognition and expression of gratitude. It makes us feel good. You want to change a life, you show them gratitude. See, if you take your job for granted, it's just a miserable job. But if you're grateful for your job, it will become a great job. Because you'll start working harder, you'll appreciate it, you'll give thanks for it. If you're ungrateful, you're not grateful for your parents, well, and you're unhappy with your parents, you start being grateful for your parents. You show them how much you appreciate them and all they've done for you, and they will become great parents. The way you change someone is by changing your own attitude. A pastor was counseling a husband who was having a rough time in his marriage and his struggling marriage with his wife. And the pastor gave him this advice. Look at this next slide. Next slide. You can be right or you can be happy. You can be right or you can be happy. You can keep arguing until you win and they admit you are right. Or you can just be grateful for your spouse and be happy. Or you can be understanding and gracious and loving and listen and be kind. You know, in every disagreement, there's no right or wrong. You know, it's just people with opinions. Radical gratitude enables me to be gracious and to let go. You change the other person by changing your own attitude. The last thing we see, radical gratitude brings you peace. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, life is filled with all sorts of problems. The devil wants you to stress out. The devil wants you to worry, because he knows if he can get you to worry, you don't worship God. When we start to worry, when we stop looking to God, we get impulsive, we get scared, and we start making stupid mistakes that lead to sin. When you start to feel worry, stop and pray. Stop and worship God. Antidote is the antidote for worry is worship. It says, give your request to God. Petition means you make request to God. You talk to God about your problem. You say, God, I have this problem. I don't know what to do. God, I'm not happy. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to give it to you, God. When you start to worry, you're saying, God, my problems are bigger than you. When we worry, we say, my problems are bigger than my God. When we worship God, we're saying, my God is bigger than my problems. And if your God is bigger than your problems, life will be better. You can pray and you let it go. You can thank God for the answer before it comes. It will give you greater peace and joy to know that God is in charge. You know, I have to be a little honest. At this point in my life, I'm 62 and I'm thinking about retiring sometime in the future. But I found myself obsessing over it too much. Worrying about this and worrying about that. Will I have enough money and blah, blah, blah. And I got to a point, especially when I was writing the sermon, that no, I need to stop worrying about it. I just need to let it go and let God do it. I need to just be grateful I have a church that I can pastor, a position I can serve in, an opportunity to preach the gospel and share the gospel. I just need to let it go and let God take care of the answer. See, when you can thank God in advance for what He's going to do before you know what He's going to do, that builds faith. The Bible says that we have faith. When we have faith, we thank God ahead of time. When we can thank God ahead of time, miracles happen. Things happen. That's because God uses our gratitude and our attitude to bring about things that we never expected. He empowers us. He uses our thanksgiving as an instrument of power in our lives to reach other people with that thanksgiving. So do you want to change your life? Are you stuck in many different ways in your life today? Maybe you have a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up that just binds you down. Start with gratitude. Start being grateful. Spend some time today thanking God for some of the things He's done for you. Look around and see what you have. Make a list and write it down in your prayer journal. You know, spouse, parents, brothers and sisters, family, so much that we have, material possessions. When you open your heart this way, with gratitude, God wants to show you what He wants to do in your life. He wants to show you how He wants to use you when you humble yourself before God. You say, God, I know that You're there, You love me, You give me what I need. Use me to do even more. Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nation what He has done. See, when we're thankful, we're grateful, we let people know what God has done for us. That's our ultimate witness. That's our testimony. And they will look at you and say, how can that happen? What can God do for me? The next time you hear someone complain about life and their circumstances, you tell them this. You say, I know how you can be happy. They complain about their kids or their spouse or whatever. You say, I know what can make you happy. Then you wait for them to say, how? Tell me how. Tell me the secret. Tell me how. And then you give them the answer. You say, be grateful to God. You be grateful to God. And they, well, what does that mean? And then you start sharing some of the truth from the message today and how you are grateful to God. See, when someone asks you, see, I rarely tell someone, well, you just need to be grateful. I never say that. I said, there's a way you can be happy. And when they ask me how, when they ask me a question, they are giving me permission to speak to them. And then I tell them, let the world know that you are thankful to the Lord and you call on His name. See, today, are you crazy grateful for what God has done for you? You should be. You know, every time I see those grandkids of mine, I'm just grateful. Every time I see my daughters happy and moving on in life, I am happy. I'm happy for my son-in-laws too. Reed, I'm happy for you. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this church and our ministry. So much to be grateful for. Why not be grateful? We should be crazy grateful. It should drive our love and our life to serve and bless people even more and to glorify God with all He gives us. Radical gratitude will set you free from a life filled with stress and worry. Grateful people are less stressed. It's hard to be stressed and grateful at the same time. Grateful people focus on what they have and give thanks for it. So today, Are you sad? Mad? Maybe you're glad. Be grateful for what God has given you. And understand this, that real gratitude comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And I want to ask you today, have you given your life to Christ? Can you truly be grateful for your future and the life ahead? God wants to give you the promised land. And eternal life, the promised land, begins today when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here today, you don't know if you're a Christian or not, I encourage you to put your faith in Christ. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And maybe you want to come up and express a gratitude for something God has given you. Maybe you want to just do it in the pews. Remember that, God, I sinned against you because I wasn't grateful today. Maybe you're here today and you want to say, Jesus, I want to believe in you. Whatever your decision, as we pray and as we prepare to sing this song, come forward and let's make a commitment to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you made us. You gave us life. And you made us and you gave us relationships and family and friends and a future. And so much you've given us that we can enjoy the richness of life. But even though we sinned against you, Lord, we are grateful that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life and the promise of the resurrection. And I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that our hearts will be open to you now, filled with gratitude. We recognize you, the giver and the gift and the need. Help us, Father, to receive every spiritual blessing with the right attitude. And I pray, Father, that if my brother or sister today, they're honest with themselves, they realize that they have not been grateful like they should, that today, right now, they'll just open their heart to you, fill it with your goodness and graciousness. And if, Father, there's someone here who does not know you as their Savior and Lord, that they will open their heart and believe in you. Father, we just thank you for all you give us. Bless today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this invitation song.